Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Welcome to Edinburgh, one of America's best-kept secrets and the key to a region that is a unique and engaging place to live and do business. It has a rich, diverse culture. It's strategically located on the U.S.-Mexico border and has a young, growing population with ever-increasing levels of education and income. Edinburgh lies at the heart of this dynamic region with a market trade area of more than 7 million people within a 150-mile radius.
Well, as you heard by the intro, Edinburgh, Texas is the middle of a population growth area down in South Texas on the Mexican border. And we have Noe Torres with us, and later Bob Gross will join us, Dr. Bob Gross. And we're bringing them on because they're doing another conference down in that area. Actually, Noe has come up with being, I guess, the number one producer and booster for UFO this coverage down in South Texas. He's really put it on the map single-handedly. They did the thing with the Border Zone Conference and then later on Laredo. And now this is coming up in Edinburgh, Texas this Monday night, or this Friday night. Sorry about that. It's Monday night now. Now I got it straight. Right. Jerry, you're live on Mondays, and on Friday we have a special. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, goes all day into the evening. And I'm going to talk to Noe Torres about it right now. Noe, how are you?
How are you doing, Jerry? I am so glad to be on your program. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better as well. And we are so excited about this fantastic event that we've got going in South Texas. We have had just so much support from everyone here in this area, from the local Chamber of Commerce, to the public library, to the Economic Development Council. Everybody has just pitched in. They want to make this a fabulous event that will be repeated annually, hopefully, if everything goes as planned, and that will draw folks to this very interesting series of topics that we'll be talking about during your show for the next hour. So thanks again for having us on.
We'll get with Dr. Gross here in a minute as well, but before we do that, I want to mention the venue. You've got a new auditorium down there, state-of-the-art.
This is a beautiful auditorium, Jerry. It seats 1,000 people in total comfort. It has the theater-style padded seating with the headrests. It's got three huge multimedia screens. There's one in the center and then one to the left and to the right as you're looking at the stage part of it. It is the best, really, and I, as you know, I've spoken at a whole bunch of different venues all over the United States on the topic of UFOs. And this one here in my own hometown is actually, having just done a walkthrough of the facility a week or so ago, I can tell you that this is probably, without a doubt, the best venue for a UFO conference that I've been involved in up to now. So it's fantastic.
Well, we expect a huge audience worldwide, and I hope you get a lot of attendance down there, which I'm sure you will. I mean, there's 7 million people there within 160 miles.
Absolutely, and we have a strong following as well right across the border from here in Tamaulipas, Mexico. We have, as you know, UFOs are a very hot topic in northern Mexico. Our friend Jaime Maussan broadcasts daily reports on UFO activities throughout Mexico. And ever since Ruben Uriarte and I came out with our book, Mexico's Roswell, in 2007, we've been going all along, all around Texas and all along the Texas-Mexico border, and we've even appeared in Mexico as well, speaking about UFO, major historic UFO events that have taken place along the border and in northern Mexico. So, yes, this is a topic that, you know, in some areas of the country, some folks would say that the topic has been kind of saturated, overdone, people aren't as interested in the topic anymore. But that's certainly not the case in Texas, and specifically in southern Texas and northern Mexico. People here are really starving to hear more information about the frequent UFO sightings that we have throughout this area and have had for many years.
Now, folks, give everybody a heads up here, and we'll bring on Dr. Gross here in a moment as well, Noy. I'm going to go ahead and give the phone number, and we're going to open up the phone lines. And anybody that feels like they want to ask a question, feel free to call in, and we'll work you into the show. The telephone number is 888, that's toll-free, 888-919-2355, 919-2355. Dr. Gross, how are you?
Good, Jerry. How are you? And good evening, Noy.
It's great to have you on.
Thank
you. And Noy, I think that what we need to do is I gave you kind of an introduction. Why don't you introduce the audience to Dr. Bob Gross? Give a little thumbnail about him.
Yeah, I'll be happy to introduce my good friend. I call him Bob, Dr. Robert Gross. He has been a member of the Mutual UFO Network for quite a while, and before that, he was a member of several other groups that made scientific inquiry into the paranormal, a lot of which involved UFO research. So he's been involved in UFO research probably for close to 30 years, and he has also been a fantastic support to us as we've gone around setting up these UFO conferences. He was one of our speakers, and he also helped me organize the Laredo UFO conference along with Ismael Cuellar that we held this past November 2012. And he's working with me. He and I are planning several other UFO conferences coming up. So we just enjoy bouncing ideas back and forth to each other very frequently. And I am so happy, Jerry, that you were able to connect Bob on the show with us tonight, because he's got a fabulous background in the field.
Now, do you have a souvenir booklet or something that people can get, order from Amazon or something about this conference?
Yes, absolutely. It's available on Amazon.com. If people will just do a search for 2013 Out of This World Conference or my name, Noe Torres, I've got a full-color 8.5 by 11 souvenir program that we're going to be selling on the day of the conference, which is this Friday, March 15th. The program includes articles by our two big speakers, Travis Walton and Stanton Friedman, as well as Dr. Gross and myself, Ismael Cuellar and Stephen Androsko. All of us have contributed articles to, and you've also got full-size portrait-size photographs of all the speakers, so that folks who are in attendance will be able to get autographs, get the picture signed by the various presenters. So, yes, and full information about this, Jerry, and about the conference is available at edinburghufo.com, which is our conference website.
And let's tell our listeners a little bit before we get into the program itself and talk to Bob about a couple of things. Let's tell the people exactly where it is. And I notice you have on the website there, Out of This World Conference, you have something about a Best Western Inn. Is that the official place?
Yes, we have been so lucky to have received the support of one of our hotels here in Edinburgh called the Best Western Plus Edinburgh Inn and Suites. And they are located right here in town. It's one of the closest facilities to the conference center. Located at the intersection of 281 and Canton Road. They have a very new facility there. They've got complimentary full breakfast. They've got swimming pool and all the normal accommodations that you would expect, free internet. And so they are our official conference hotel. They are the location where Travis Walton and Stanton Friedman will be staying, as well as Ismael Cuellar, our out-of-town speakers. So we're very fortunate to have a partnership with the Best Western Plus here in town in Edinburgh, Texas.
Is it too late for a vendor to get in touch with you?
Absolutely not. We're going to be making tables available in the lobby area leading into the auditorium, and we can definitely bring out more tables if they are needed. We have a number of key vendors, members of the Edinburgh Chamber of Commerce, and others who will be having tables where they'll be able to make contact with as many as 1,000 people who will be attending this UFO conference. And so definitely if they want, if they are interested, vendors are interested in being there, they can call our Edinburgh Chamber of Commerce telephone number, which is area code 956-383-4974. That's 383-4974. There's also a toll-free number, Jerry, 1-800-800-7214. That's 1-800-800-7214. The Edinburgh Chamber of Commerce is really the one that has really promoted this event. They have they and the Edinburgh Economic Development Council have funded, for instance, television spots and ads. And there's also a beautiful outdoor electronic billboard at one of our highest traffic intersections nearby here that's been running the Out of This World UFO Conference information on that big billboard. So we're very happy that the entire community of Edinburgh and all the key civic and community organizations have really pitched in to help with this. And we'd like to see it, you know, continue as an annual event.
At the top of the show, you probably didn't get a chance to hear it, but we played a little bit of audio from the Edinburgh Convention Visitors Bureau, you know, about Edinburgh, Texas. And I'd recommend people that are in driving distance or however they want to get there to spend a couple of extra days while they're down there.
Absolutely, Jerry.
I mean, you have a festival too, right?
Yeah, we're not that far from South Padre Island, which is a very, very well-known tourist destination in the area, especially during spring break time. We also have the University of Texas Pan American is located in Edinburgh, one of the branches of the UT system for the state of Texas, one of the largest universities in this area of Texas. We've also got a minor league baseball team here called the Edinburgh Roadrunners. They're right here in Edinburgh, and they'll be starting up their summer schedule of games here very shortly in a month or two. The quality of life in Edinburgh, McAllen area is extremely high, extremely good, and we get a lot of visitors, especially during the colder times of the year up north. We have a lot of folks that come down here and spend the winter with us, as well as other age groups as well of visitors coming to South Texas quite frequently. We are one of the largest destinations for viewing wildlife, birding. We've got some huge state parks and facilities here that accommodate bird watching and other outdoor activities. So this is a unique and beautiful part of the state of Texas, and I'm just so thrilled that I can call this home.
Bob Gross, let's bring you into the conversation.
Yes, sir.
What actually are you going to be lecturing on that day? You got an interesting subject.
Yes, and first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Noe Torres. I really have the utmost respect for Noe as a fellow professional as well as a person, and he has inspired me to ratchet up my research and my writing. So again, I'd like to thank Noe. And as far, Jerry, as my topic is concerned, it's going to be on science and the paranormal. It's an area that...
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. That intrigues me. What do you mean by that?
Well,
the title.
My background has been in researching the UFOs and other paranormal experiences for more than 25 years now. And I've been trying to tie a lot of things together. And especially now in the 21st century, I have been seeing a lot of evidence that the paranormal is actually the new normal. And that science and the paranormal, when you're looking at those two entities, I think of science, if we're looking at the iceberg theory, I see the science as the tip of the iceberg, and then the paranormal as the rest of the iceberg that's below the waterline, and the whole iceberg is being reality. So I'm trying to show to our audience that day in the first presentation, tying it all together to show that in some cases, since 71% of the population in the United States have had some type of paranormal experience, I want to convince them that it's quite normal to experience such things, and that UFO sightings are part of that.
It's an interesting statistic you put out there, Dr. Gross. I find that fascinating.
Thank you.
And you mentioned the silence, the zone of silence. That's down there somewhere, isn't it? If you have
yeah.
a little,
yeah,
well, what's that all about?
Okay, Jerry, one of the things that's really interesting is, as you know, there are a lot of mysterious zones throughout the world where strange things seem to happen quite frequently. You know, there are places where if you bring out a compass there, it'll start spinning wildly, and radio transmissions are often affected, cell phone transmissions. They say that instruments don't always work correctly on overflying planes. And one of those places is here in the northern part of Mexico, and it's called La Zona del Silencio, or the Zone of Silence. And it's just northwest of here, and it is called Mexico's Bermuda Triangle. So in keeping with what Dr. Gross is talking about, there's a lot of mysterious events that all of us are exposed to. And I love the research that Dr. Gross is doing on how different people react to paranormal events differently, and also how paranormal events can totally turn around a person's life. In other words, they'll never be the same again. They'll never look at the world and the universe and life the same again after having an encounter. So this is the type of research that Dr. Gross is involved in, and he has, as he mentioned, many years of doing research in this field. He also, Jerry, I know you're familiar with the Kecksburg UFO crash.
Yes.
He is also an expert. Having lived in the Pennsylvania area for a really long period of time, he's an expert on the Kecksburg UFO crash, and actually spoke about that at our recent Laredo UFO conference.
Yeah, Dr. Gross, you're going to bring that up again in this this meeting?
Just very, very briefly.
Uh-huh.
I had worked with since 1985, I had worked with the Pennsylvania Association for the Study of the Unexplained with Stanley Gordon. So I had been involved with researching, even though it was 1985, with researching the Kecksburg incident with that organization. And so it does have a lot of connections to almost everything else that I work with.
One of my listeners wrote me today. It said that 7:10 a.m. down there is going to carry this conference too. Is that right?
Actually, what it is, Jerry, is there's going to be a one-hour interview with Stanton Friedman and myself that's going to be broadcast on 7:10 a.m. here locally from midnight until 1 a.m. on Thursday night. So Thursday night at midnight, they can tune in for a one-hour preview sort of like what we're doing here with you today. You've got the world exclusive on it here with us today. But there will also be an interview Thursday night on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. It's just a 1 hour shot from midnight to one and it's heard locally here in South Texas on KURV 710 AM. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Now, the more publicity, the better for these things. And, you mentioned the world. It's World Contact Day or something like that.
It is exactly that. And I would like, if we have a few minutes, Jerry, if we don't have a break coming up, I'd like to give you a little bit of history about this fascinating subject of World Contact Day. Do we have some time right now, or do you want to cover that a little later?
No, go ahead. Let's talk about it.
All right.
This is pretty interesting. Not only is it World Contact Day for UFOs, and this is not anything new. It's been around for a while. In addition to that, I got a Facebook message here from a guy who says there's supposed to be a meteor show up on Friday night sometime.
Now, that's very interesting because at one of our last UFO conferences, the one in Presidio, the border zone, we had a meteor shower the night we had that one as well.
I remember that.
Aliens may be throwing rocks at us, Jerry.
Yeah, that's what got my attention when this guy wrote me on Facebook and said that. Tell us a little bit about the history of the World Contact Day.
Okay, well, let's go back in time to 1952. This was the height of major UFO activity throughout the United States. It had been going on since the late 1940s, and by the early to middle 1950s, the number of sightings was just astronomical all over the United States and throughout the world, really. Well, in the late 1940s, there was a gentleman named Alfred Bender from Connecticut who started up a group called the International Flying Saucer Bureau. It was one of the first civilian UFO research organizations, Jerry, and he started it up in 1952. And one of the things, this gentleman was very interesting. If you go back and do research on his life, he was a fascinating person, and he felt that he had some kind of psychic connection to UFOs and UFO occupants. He decided that March 15th, 1953, would be the very first World Contact Day. And that was a day when all of the people interested in flying saucers were to tune their minds and attempt to project psychic energies out into space and attempt to communicate with the UFO occupants. So this was established and set up for March 15th, 1953, the very first one at 6 p.m., and there was actually a message, which you can read on our website, by the way. It's the text that people were supposed to memorize and then were supposed to recite at that exact time throughout the world. So anyway, when Mr. Bender, the leader of this group and the one who came up with the idea for World Contact Day, when he closed his eyes and began to meditate, he had an out-of-body experience. He later said, "I felt a terrible cold chill hit my whole body. My head began to ache. I partly lost consciousness, and the room around me began to fade. And the next thing you know, he felt as though he was floating up above his body, looking down at it on the bed. And he heard a strange voice saying to him, although he describes it as being a voice, it wasn't really audible. It was just in his mind. And it said to him, quote, 'We have been watching you and your activities. Please be advised to discontinue delving into the mysteries of the universe. Otherwise, we will make an appearance if you disobey.'" So he thought this was a very strange message, and it wasn't really what he wanted to hear, so he verbalized the following question: "Why aren't you friendly to us? We do not mean you any harm." And then this strange disembodied voice responded to him, "We have a special assignment on your planet and must not be disturbed by your people. We are among you and know your every move. So please be advised, we are there on your earth.
So and he made this contact at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock on March 15th.
Are you going to try something?
Well, actually, at
the movie, Travis Walton's movie showing at that time, I think.
Well, I think we're going to be done a little bit before that, and then it'll be time to eat. So maybe while we're having our meal, we can all focus our thought energies into outer space and try to get the attention of somebody.
Okay, when we do the show,
yeah,
live on Friday night, I'm going to have to talk to you before we start with Travis and find out if anything happened.
Well, Jerry, what I'd like to do is I'm going to email you the text that the people in 1953 were supposed to memorize. It's about two paragraphs long, and it starts off with the words, "Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. We are your friends and would like to make contact with you." Now, some of your listeners may think those words are awfully familiar because they were used in a song in the 1970s done by a Canadian rock group called Klaatu, and the title of the song was "Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft." It was later done by the Carpenters, of all people.
Yeah, I remember that song, but the Carpenters, I remember.
Well, the original group was Klaatu. It was a Canadian rock group whose name comes, incidentally, from the 1950 science fiction classic film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Klaatu was the name of the robot, the huge metal robot that the visitor from another planet brought to Earth. So it's a fascinating story, and there's a lot of all kinds of ties and parallels to it, but I'm going to send you the text because maybe you can recite those words right at 6 o'clock and send them and beam them into outer space.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try. And by the way, when we talk about things happening on the 15th, if that meteor shows up, I'll follow up on that as well. I don't know if this guy from Facebook knows what he's talking about or not, but he might.
And by the way, Jerry, we're going to have a viewing using telescopes. Our local astronomy club from our local university is going to be part of this event as well. Not on Friday, but we have a continuation of events on Saturday.
No, that's what I was trying to get. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get to, Noy. It's a festival that goes on besides Friday, right? All weekend.
Yeah, we call it a conference and festival. The conference part of it is all day on Friday. That's when we're going to have the heavyweight speakers. We've got Stanton Friedman, Travis Walton, Dr. Gross. We've got lectures all day long. But the second part of it, the festival, takes place on Saturday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it's at another location, which is nearby here. It's at the Edinburgh City Auditorium. The Friday events are all going to be at the Edinburgh Conference Center at Renaissance, which is this brand new high-tech facility. But then on Saturday night for the festival part of it, which is more or less family-friendly social activities, that's going to take place over at behind City Hall at the Edinburgh Conference Center.
Now let's talk a little bit about the conference itself. Robert Gross, can they pay just to see one person, or do you get one ticket fits all, or how does this work?
It would be one ticket fits all. I believe there's a general admission price per ticket at $15, but then there are also front row reserve tickets that are a little more expensive.
What time do you speak?
I am the lead-off speaker at 9 o'clock Friday morning.
Friday morning at 9 o'clock, and you're going to talk about silence and the paranormal.
And silence.
You got evidence that 71% of the people have had a paranormal experience, so it's really not paranormal.
That's true.